added a different direction, which I kind of liked what I was going to do. But I don't want to do it without a map, because what I was going to do is we're calling this series after Acts. And when you read Titus, you'll find out Paul did do some traveling after Acts. And we've talked about it before, but I wanted to point out to it on a map and then take you to those verses, because it leads to an answer to a question that I have. And I won't tell you the question, because I'm not going to tell you the answer today. But we're going to look at Titus. So go to Titus chapter 1, and we will start the same way. What I thought we'd do, just so that you get a little idea about what this book is about, there's only three chapters to it. And we'll look at chapters 2 and 3. We'll actually look at chapter 1 again in detail, but I want to start out by reading Titus chapter 1. And as soon as you read it, you'll get an idea of the assignment that Titus was given. And it's in that assignment that you start learning some things that historically and culturally and spiritually, the book is powerful. Most people who come to the book of Titus, and if you haven't read it, make sure that you read it before next week, because that's what we were saying. If we're going to study a book and look at an overview, we should be reading it before we come each week. And you can read this. Even I can read this in a matter of 5 minutes. But be reading it. And when you do, one of the things you'll see in there, the thing that stands out in the book of Titus is the charge to teach people to maintain good works. And when you teach the doctrine of grace, a lot of people think that, well, when you teach grace, that means people can go out and live any way they please. And it doesn't mean they can or that they should. The grace, you learn from the book of Titus, would teach them that they shouldn't. And therefore that they ought to maintain good works. But you don't do good works in order to get God's favor, or good works of your flesh in order to live the Christian life. The Christian life is lived out of you by the grace of God that's in you. And that's the way that good works is produced. But before we talk about the good works, watch the bad works, the things that Titus has to deal with. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their minds and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And my notes, I got, wow. Titus, you know, if you remember where Crete is, it's an island out in the Mediterranean there. And Titus is there on that island, and he's got quite a responsibility. And when you look at the character of the people on the island of Crete, you go, wow, Titus has really got some job to do. I mean, Paul, you talk about not holding back any punches. He talks about the circumcision, and they're vain talkers and deceivers. That verse 11, their mouths must be stopped. It talks about them subverting whole houses, and they do it for filthy lucre's sake. Paul just not holding back anything here, even quoting that they're always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And then he says, this witness is true. So, the whole point is that is the people on the island are pretty perverse. And there's a way, just looking at simply at the book, you start out where, start talking about the people there. Well, I just call them from verse 12, Cretans. Chapter 1 is about the Cretans. If you look at chapter 2, it says, but speak thou the things that become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, temperate. Well, you see that he's going to talk about the aged men, he's going to talk about the aged women, the younger women, and then he's going to talk about the young men, and the whole idea of that is adorning the doctrine. Well, when you get to chapter 2, he's certainly talking about the saints. So you got the Cretans in chapter 1, you got the saints in chapter 2, and then you got the reminder in chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So in verse 1, he says, put them in mind. And what he tells them to put them in mind about is a reminder that we used to be Cretans. So hopefully you can already see just from that little that you got the condition of the Cretans. But what is Titus assigned to do? Appoint elders in every city. Find someone in every city that's qualified to be an elder. And by the way, look back in chapter 1. It says in verse 5, it says, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Now, he's going to change, going to have an impact in that place. The things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. And so it says that he's supposed to go through every city and appoint elders. And then as he's starting to do that, he says, if any be, and he starts naming the qualifications to be an elder. And verse 7 says, for a bishop must be blameless. Well, I thought he was talking about elders. Well, see, bishop is the name of the office. The elder is the person that you put in that office. And elders, certainly, when you look at all the qualifications, he's someone who is spiritually older, someone who already has God's word working in him, especially when you get down to verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Then he starts talking about those who would be gainsayers. That is to say again, to speak against the things of God, so that the elder who holds the office of a bishop is spiritually living a life that's proper, but also has the doctrine in him that he can shut the mouth of gainsayers. And so when we talk about a bishop and an elder, that it's the same thing. It's just looking at it from a different point of view. Bishop is not the person, it's the office. But it is a reference to the person holding the office. But that person is called an elder, and he's spiritually older. And generally, being an elder just in any city, they had elders of the city on a non-spiritual level, that we are talking about older, someone who is older and wiser. So here it would take someone that's older. We know from 1 Timothy he's not to be a novice, so there is some age involved, but there's certainly some spiritual maturity he has already reached, and then there's a ministry to be taken care of there. So you have the situation here where these people on this island aren't living very good at all, and the solution to the matter is go through the city, appoint elders. Now, what makes up, what you learn in the book of Philippians, that what makes up a church is that there's elders, deacons, and congregation. And So that when you're appointing elders, when if we studied back in Acts, and we're not going to do that right now, but when we studied the book of Acts and Paul went on three apostolic journeys, the last one really was taking up a collection. The other two, he was establishing churches. But what he first do, he'd go through and evangelize, and then he backtracked, and then he would appoint elders in those cities. So that as the people he went through, some people got saved. Then they had some time before he backtracked to start studying the doctrine. Those who rose to place of leadership, he put them in a place of leadership. And then now a local church is formed, and Paul would then go off, and those elders would then be responsible to carry on the ministry of grace. That's where, in the early days, they had the gift of prophecy, so that God would give them, and the gift of knowledge, the information they need to carry on the ministry. But as time goes on, Paul's writing these epistles, giving them the doctrine and the duty that they have, and then they then, like in 2 Timothy, or Timothy is told, preach the word. And so eventually prophecy gives way to preaching. But all that to say this is, when you look at chapter 1 and you see the Cretans and how evil they are, the solution is start a local church. And then once you start that local church, chapter 2, teach the saints how to be godly saints. And then when you got godly saints, then don't let them forget chapter 3. Because in chapter 3 then, it says, put them in mind to be subject unto principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. Now you can see that the Christians, it would be easy for us to look at them and condemn them. But them meaning the lost people on the island. But he says, speak evil of no man, be no brawler, so you're not going to fight with them, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, serving diverse lusts, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I could just keep reading because you realize how it just keeps on going. But the whole point is, we used to be Cretans. So get people saved, start teaching them about godliness in their life, and then remind them to speak the good things and be gentle to those men out there, and remember you used to be like them. So don't be shocked when sinners are sinners, and there's a ministry that we have to them, and that what we're looking at there, that's the answer for the island of Crete. It's get people saved and get them under the study of God's word, the grace of God. Because if you look, and I know we're going to jump around and say a lot of these things again, if you look at chapter 2, it says in verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But my point is it's the grace of God that brings salvation. It appeared to all men, but then teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. There are preachers who do not believe in the grace of God. That they say, there might be preachers out there who will teach salvation by grace through faith and get people saved because they know that's the gospel and there's no other way because they understood the cross work of Christ. But I've heard it so many times where you can't give them too much liberty. You got to put them under a little bit of law or they're going to live any way they please. So they beat them up on their finances. They beat them up on their church attendance. They beat them up on their dress. They beat them up on how much they're working and preaching and all the rest. And they just keep beating up on people thinking that's how they're going to get people to live godly. But godliness is not a preacher beating up on you to make you perform. Godliness is the grace of God transforming your life and God using you as a vehicle for his grace. And when I say they don't believe in grace, they don't believe verse 12. And hardly anybody does, but I would understand why a lost person wouldn't. Because they would think, well, if you're saved by grace, meaning undeserved, unmerited favor, it's the gift of God, then certainly that would tell you that you could go out and live in sin and it's okay to do so. But it doesn't teach you that. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. And Paul's reminding Titus of that because the answer for the ungodliness on the island of Crete is get people saved and let the grace of God work in their life and it'll transform them. And you can trust the gospel to work. In fact, if you look at chapter 3, it says, verse 8, it says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." Sometimes you do, you know, especially in preaching, you do a lot of repeating, saying things like, I'm thinking, okay, well, you probably already heard me say this a dozen times. But Paul's telling Timothy that what he's about to say, or what he has said, that he's telling Titus to affirm it constantly for a reason. Did you see the next word is that? This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You keep teaching the grace of God until it gets in the heart of people that they maintain good works. It didn't say abandon it. Now this kind of brings me to the middle of what I was going to teach today. I was going to start out showing more about the introduction to Paul and Titus on the island of Crete. But go back to chapter 1. And you'll see why I expressed, I'll share this a little bit more detail about this. But you realize that when Paul wrote Titus, he had moved on. Probably Nicopolis is where he's at, or at least that's where he's heading. But my point is like when Paul wrote 1 Timothy, he was free. When he writes 2 Timothy, he's in jail and his life is about over. When he wrote the book of Titus, he was also free. So Titus was written about the same time 1 Timothy was written. Paul was traveling. And so when you read in verse 4 of Titus chapter 1, it says, "To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, for this cause left I thee in Crete." So Paul had traveled, and was Titus and Paul were together and went to Crete. And then Paul left Crete, but Titus didn't leave Crete. He's left there, and now he's got an assignment. So as soon as Paul left, he writes him and tells him, okay, now here's why you're left there. It says, "For this cause left I in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting." And boy, there's a bunch of wantonness there. "And ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee." So the job wasn't done on the island of Crete. In fact, if you follow Paul's pattern, the first job is to go and preach the gospel. Well, if you look at that, it says that his job is to set in order the things that are wanting, whatever left over, whatever needs to be done, he needs to take care of it, and ordain elders in some of the cities, as I point, in every city. All the cities throughout that whole island, Titus is going to go through that island and appoint elders. Well, you can't appoint elders unless there's people saved in every one of those cities. So some evangelism had already taken place, and maybe when Paul was there, they did that. Perhaps it might have been an earlier time that we'll see when we talk about Paul's travels next week. But the point is that Titus is left there to appoint elders in every city and to set in order the things that are wanting. So the point is Paul was free to travel at this point. It's after this that he ends up back in jail, and then he writes 2 Timothy there. But Titus has got quite a job. And my point just for today will be, Titus is the man for the job. Because notice in verse 4, it says, "Titus, to my own son after the common faith." And we'll talk about common faith another time. But Titus is treated like Timothy is. Timothy, we kept talking about how Paul writes to Timothy and calls him his son. Well, now Paul's calling Titus his son. And so he is one who, just like Timothy, has been around for a long time. In fact, Titus is probably was saved in Paul's first apostolic ministry in one of those cities of Galatia. We know that's when Timothy was saved. We're not going to go back through the study of Timothy, but Timothy was saved the first time Paul went through the areas of Galatia, because the second time he went through those cities, he said there was a disciple named Timothy. Him should go with Paul. So Timothy got saved in the first ministry and became a disciple and traveled with Paul after that, as Paul went through that area the second time. And it looks like Titus was there, got saved during the first time Paul went through the areas of Galatia. And one of the reasons we know that, come to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2, when Paul is defending the gospel that he preached, and he had gone through from the time of his conversion until the time that he went to Jerusalem when the council met together, which I believe matches Acts 15. I don't know why they would have two councils to deal with the same problem. Some people do believe that, but I believe Galatians 2 is matching Acts chapter 15. And so he says 14 years after. Now that's after his conversion, after the timing that you read in chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. He says, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Well, the only time Barnabas traveled with Paul is in that first apostolic ministry when they went through the cities of Galatia. But now here, Paul and Barnabas are coming to Jerusalem after that time, before the second apostolic ministry that began in Acts 16. So before that second apostolic ministry, Barnabas is going with Paul to Jerusalem to explain the gospel that they preach out among the Gentiles. And when they went there, they took Titus also. So Titus is already not only saved, but one who's got some integrity, some growth, has been a disciple, because watch what he brings Titus for a reason. He says in verse 2, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So when Paul is defending and not putting up with someone adding works to salvation for an hour, don't give him any time, he shuts the mouth of the gainsayer, you could say, right? But when he did that, he brings Titus, who's Titus is with among people of reputation. Peter, James, John. I mean, you're in the Council of Jerusalem. You got the elders of Jerusalem there. You got the apostles of the nation of Israel there. Paul comes to explain his gospel, how you don't have to be saved through Israel. You're saved by the grace of God through the finished work of Christ. And they never heard of being saved apart from God's program for Israel, apart from circumcision. So they bring Titus, he's a Greek, he's uncircumcised, and remember there was much disputing at that council. Did Titus cower? Titus stood strong? Can you imagine that? You know, can you imagine being a young believer and be put up in front of a bunch of people with doctorate's degrees who have studied the Bible for years and don't believe in Pauline dispensational truth, and you stand your ground? Well, see, that's Titus. First time you're introduced to him, there he is, standing his ground, and Paul brings him because he knew he could do that. And so not only did Paul not give place to this false teaching for an hour, neither did Titus. And so that tells you something about the character of the person of Titus, that he not only knows grace, he's going to stand for grace, he's not going to waver in his stand for grace. And most people, if they were trying to minister to the Cretans, would abandon grace and try to get people under the law and acting properly and put fear in them rather than preach the grace of God. But not Titus. He's going to stand for the truth of God's grace and let the grace of God change lives. So that's the kind of character that Titus is. Now you read about Titus again, Come over to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, all these are times that Paul, he's now on his, he writes 2 Corinthians when he's on the third apostolic ministry, and you know from reading 1 Corinthians, the Corinthians weren't quite like the Cretans. They were more carnal. They're just sinful thinking and living like men, but not so much in the sense of like all the things that are said about the Cretans, about always being liars and evil bellies, and slow bellies, what's it, evil? I forget the terms. We'll look at them later. But anyhow, the character of the Cretans seemed to be tougher and meaner and more sinful, but the Corinthians are just sinful in the sense that they're just living life like men who should know better but don't. So Paul had to write 1 Corinthians to correct their lifestyle. And in 2 Corinthians, he's getting ready to come and visit them, but he's preparing before he comes there. If you just look in chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." Now, when we put the map up there, Macedonia is just north of Achaia, where Corinth is at. And the idea is Paul needs to get to Corinth and take care of business. But even though he had opportunity to minister longer at Troas, he couldn't stay there because he's waiting for Titus to come and give him a report about the Corinthians. So come over to chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. He says in verse 5, he says, "For when we were come into Macedonia," so we're picking up right where we left off in chapter 2 there, "for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." He finally showed up. He met up with Paul up in Macedonia. And he says, "And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more." So when Titus met with Paul, he said, Paul's saying, it's not just that Titus showed up, it's what Titus told us about you, that finally the word of God is starting to work in your life. He says, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh wrath. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye are approved, ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter." Now all that stuff about indignation and vehement and revenge, what it is these people sorried to the point that they were mad that they did the things that they did and didn't think the way that they should have thought. And so there's Paul, what clearing? That finally, it's in the second letter that Paul is saying the Corinthians are finally catching on to the importance of living a godly life and have taken care of the things that they were living carnally in. So verse 12 says, "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for this cause that had done the wrong, for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you, so that they'd realize Paul cared for them. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For I have boasted many things of him to you. I am not ashamed, but as to speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. So Paul said, you know, the Corinthians are got some problems, but they're good people. So he says, I'm glad you got a good report, because my boasting showed Titus that what the things I said were true. Now watch verse 15. And his, speaking about Titus, his inward affection is more abundant toward you, while he remembereth the obedience of you all, how that with fear and trembling ye received him. So, what I want you to see in that is not only we read more than I was going to read, but it gives you opportunity to see how ministering God's word to them does transform their lives. And that Titus here not only has this affection toward them, but thinks about their obedience, but that last part, how with fear and trembling ye received him. It's like when he went to Corinth, you know, Paul warned the Corinthians. He said, if I have to come to you, you're gonna be sorry. But instead of coming, he sent Titus. And they were afraid of Titus. That tells you something about the character of Titus. Not only does he stand for the truth, and he's going to go and proclaim the truth boldly, he can stand against opposition. He can confront. It's something I hate doing, confrontation. I'm not good at it. I try to avoid it. But there's times you can't avoid it, and you must deal with it. Well, Titus is the type that, you know, he can deal with it. Paul sent him because of the character of that man. Consider him and Timothy. Hold your place here. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In verse, Paul's preparing them to take up a collection. That's what he's actually on his way doing in 2 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 16 in verse 10, he's at Ephesus, but because he's at Ephesus and he writes this to the Corinthians, he says in verse 10, he says, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto you, for I look for him with the brethren. When Paul writes about Timothy is going to go to Corinth, he says, that first part, that he may be with you without fear. Do you remember Timothy has a problem with fear? In 1 Timothy we read, God hath not, 2 Timothy, that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He has to encourage Timothy that in light of the apostasy, stand your ground, kindle the flame, and keep preaching, and that the fear that you have isn't coming from God. Get over it. But here, he's going to come to the Corinthians, and Paul's afraid that Timothy is going to go there in fear because he's afraid of the Corinthians. But Titus goes there, and the Corinthians are afraid of Titus. You see the difference in the character? Timothy wasn't the man for the island of Crete. That's the whole point. Timothy knows the doctrine. But the character of Timothy and the character of the people on the island of Crete, Timothy's not the man for that job. But when Paul took Titus and left him at Crete, there's no doubt that Titus is the man for the job. And he's the man for the job for two reasons. Not only his personality in the fact that he is able to go there and whatever their condition is, that he's able to deal with that, and he's able to confront and shut the mouth of the gainsayers and stop the people who are subverting whole houses, and then take the saints and instruct them about godliness in their life, and then to affirm those things constantly to them. He's the man that's able to do that. So he's not only the man because of his character to do that, but he's also the man because of his faithfulness to the doctrine. He's going to stand true to the doctrine no matter what. And it's the doctrine that's going to do the work in the life of the believer. So he is the man for the very purpose that he is the man for the job and the man with the doctrine. And that's the answer for the people of the island of Crete. And not to say, you know, just to compare him with Timothy, you could understand why Titus is on Crete and Timothy was at Ephesus and it even moved on from there. So this is the condition on the island of Crete and the answer to that. Let's close with Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Because there's a statement here right at the beginning. When you see him, the introduction to the book, and it's different than the other epistles that Paul writes. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now that going back to the promise before the world began, I'm not going to deal with the verse, the context there. I just wanted you to catch the fact that in Paul's mind, he's going back to the promise of eternal life that goes back before the foundation of the world. So that when he talks about the faith of God's elect, God had purposed that those who would believe in his son, they are going to be his elect. And Paul is the apostle to those people. He's got the doctrine for God's elect in this age. So that's why he says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. He's got the message for God's elect. And, the other part of this, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So he's got the message to present, right? But it's when that truth is acknowledged, it produces godliness. So that the apostle Paul there, the message that you see right from the beginning of, and you realize all the way through the book of Titus, this is going to be true. The answer to the people on the island of Crete is to give them the gospel of the grace of God, and then when they will acknowledge this doctrine, this truth about God's grace, it's after godliness. It produces godliness in a life. And that we already saw it in chapter 2. There it is in chapter 1. And that's the thing that Titus is going to be faithful to do when he gets there. Now, there's another reason that we were going to look at some of Paul's travel, and it actually is part of the introduction to the book of Titus, but we're going to look at that next week when I got the map up here. And that at least gives you, actually, we read more than half the book of Titus just doing that. So, but we will look at it for the next couple weeks as well. So, anybody got a question before we... Okay, let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you today for the fact that we're gathered here. And Lord, as I think about it, everything we just said about the answer for the island of Crete is to appoint elders in every city. But the elders got to do their job of ministering to the lost and as well as to the believer. But the believers, in order for godliness to work, they need to acknowledge the truth. So they're going to have to be under the sound of teachers and under the sound doctrine of the teachers. And so we do pray, even for our own assembly, that people would realize how important it is to be gathered together and to be under the sound of your word so that it can produce in our life godliness as we acknowledge that truth. And so we thank you that that truth is presented right from the beginning in the book of Titus and will help us in the ministry and in the time in which we live as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.